Welcome into the big show on this Tuesday morning. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Get your cup of coffee together because we've got a lot of news to get to. Just a few minutes ago, peace talks just wrapped up. These were the first peace talks hosted by the country of Turkey between Ukraine and Russia. And apparently there was some forward progress, but that hasn't stopped the White House in the United States from doubling down on regime change. I mean, the crazy stuff that is literally coming out of the Biden administration today is jaw-dropping, and it's going to get us into World War III. We'll talk about all of that.
But you wouldn't know it because you're here on YouTube, and if you're on YouTube, now you get to see fewer sides of the story. In fact, a news outlet in India has been taken down just from running news of certain Russian people speaking. So we will continue to talk about the concerning problem of censorship in the West.
And while we've been all focused on Ukraine and other big stories like the pandemic, the Republican Party has been going back to its old playbook, its old rule book, which is to get rid of what they call entitlement programs, like Social Security, because you're so entitled. You're so entitled. You're so wealthy. We're going to tell you about Senator Scott's comments on that and what the Republicans are quietly doing right behind the scenes right now while you're not paying attention. Will Social Security be on the chopping block in a few years? All of that as Morning Invest starts right now.
Welcome to your Tuesday, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can subscribe to the channel at morninginvest.com/join. You can also make sure you're a subscriber to the newsletter at morninginvest.com. Lots of news in there, including the things we will talk about today, but also more. I, again, spent too much time reading media about this Will Smith slappage. I just can't avoid it. I am the kind of person that, like, if there's a big story dominating the news headline, I just jump right in. Like, I was all in when, you know, Siegfried and Roy got bit by the tiger. I obsess about it.
Tiger King. I was all up on that Tiger King biz.
I don't think that's not really what I'm talking about. Just like a big headline around one thing. And then I'm like, I need to know.
Britney Spears, conservatorship.
Shaving her head kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I would say I've already lost about 3 man hours to this slap, at least in my life in the last 2 days.
Alec Baldwin shoots a person.
I wasn't so big on that one. We talked about it.
Down that rabbit hole. Yeah, the Will Smith thing. We're not going to talk about it today. By the way, yesterday
we are going to talk about it later on today.
Well, thank God. But yesterday, because that's all anyone on the internet was talking about.
I can't take it.
And in our pre-show yesterday, we were talking about it. And some moron wrote me in a comment on YouTube. It's like, you're so predictable. You talked about that. I didn't think you'd talk about it in the first few seconds of the show. It's like, well, it was our pre-show, number one. So we were all just having a conversation about it. And it was the last story in the show. But we're so predictable that we would cover.
Right. Well, okay. So what? I should be better than that and only be reading Foucault.
Right.
But I am also obsessed with this.
But there's a lot freaking to unpack around that story for crying out loud, right? It's like, does someone get away with assault? You know, the ratings for these ridiculous award shows, on and on and on.
It's got everything, race, gender, class. I mean.
But we're not going to talk about it right here at the beginning of the show. So sorry, whatever.
I already wasted a lot of my time. We've wasted a lot of your time. Thank you for indulging us.
No, this isn't wasted time. This is glorious time, except for that moron who wrote me. Sorry to ruin your day. Well, if you've been paying attention to what's been coming out of the Biden White House over the past few days, you might be horribly confused. On the one hand, you're getting messages of regime change from President Biden in Warsaw, calling for Vladimir Putin to be removed from power. He's going and speaking to troops, and it was caught on video where he's actually telling troops that U.S. troops that you're going to be in Ukraine in a few days. You'll see on the front lines. You'll see what it's like there. Don't worry. You're going to see. So U.S. troops are now going to be sent into Ukraine. That's what he's telling these troops.
Which we have been told would not be the case.
Yeah, absolutely not going to happen. So the president was given an opportunity yesterday by the reporters who, of course, fall at the feet of the White House and kiss the feet of the White House, gave him every ample opportunity yesterday to walk his statements back. After all, that's what the White House has been doing over the past 24 hours. They've been walking his statements back. No. We don't believe in regime change. Instead, the president didn't take the bait. He went the opposite direction and doubled down. So listen to President Biden doubling down on his position on regime change.
That Putin can't remain in power. Or do you now regret saying that because your government has been trying to walk that back? Did your words complicate matters?
Well, you asked three different questions. I'll answer them all. Number one, I'm not walking anything back.
Oh.
The fact of the matter is I was expressing the more outrage I felt toward the way Putin is dealing and the actions of this man. Just brutality. Half the children in Ukraine. I just come from being with those families.
What does that even mean? So he's like glancing down at cue cards, by the way. Did you notice that? Like he's reading off of cue cards.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm not walking anything back.
Answer them all. Number one, I'm not walking anything
back. Let me read this. The fact of the matter is, I was expressing more.
The way Putin is.
I'm going to read this because I can't speak from the hip here anymore, apparently. I don't know. But I'm not walking anything back. I'm not walking anything back.
He probably got his hand slapped from the
Ukraine.
I know. Like he just ran in the half the children of Ukraine, and I was with these family. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? I mean, this is a president who literally has made major mistakes over the past 24, 48 hours, even beyond that. And his administration has been on cleanup duty. He's had a Secretary of State. He's had other members of his cabinet on national television cleaning up this mess.
Yes.
You've had Jake Sullivan out there. You had Anthony Blinken. We played his sound yesterday here on the show. Cleanup on aisle five. And he goes out there and says the same thing over again.
Well, Edward Smith in the chat makes a good point. What if Putin had said this exact thing, right? We would consider that a declaration of war to some level.
This would
escalate our level of engagement greatly.
Yes, think about what we did when it was when Saddam Hussein, you know, there was talk of Saddam Hussein wanting to kill George H.W. Bush. What did his son do? Like, talk about revenge, fabricated a war to go into that country to capture Saddam Hussein in a spider hole and then have him hung in front of the world. Right. So we don't tolerate that kind of talk. And the United States position on regime change is we don't ever support regime change. Like, that's not the United States position to be involved in any kind of regime change.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do anything in Venezuela at all.
No. Well, you can do it publicly. You can't say it publicly, but you do it anyway. That's the United States position, right? You just don't say it, but you just do it, right? You send the CIA in to try to overthrow Castro. That's what you do on the side, but you don't say it publicly.
Well, it's interesting that the United States has... Go ahead. Label the people that call it out.
Label the people that call it out as conspiracy theorists.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And even though there's whole books written about it, like, and it's all factual, like it's all there. It's not a conspiracy theory at all. Go ahead.
Well, what's interesting is the United States has this stance of like, we're going to say tough words to our sympathetic press. Like, we're, you know, we don't want this guy in power. We feel empowered that we're winning, that kind of thing. But then we don't want to put boots on the ground. We don't want to really support Ukraine because Russia will then come back at us. And we don't really want to be fighting this directly. Well, now a spokesperson for Russia says that they are basically this close to considering these sanctions an act of war.
Yeah,
which
we're going to send 1,000 mercenaries to Ukraine. I mean,
right.
As a result of this. And so that what is war then? I mean, economic war, you're crushing a country economically.
Right. These are the parsing of the words, right, that gets so confusing because President Biden did say sanctions are an act of war. Then he continues to do them and encourage other countries to do them. And then he says, well, you know, we won't have boots on the ground, but we will. It's hard to say what they're actually doing. What tough talk is for us, right, in the West to feel like we're gaining ground, we're on the right side, you know, and then what tough talk is for them that's threatening and deterring, but not so much that it doesn't reverberate.
So one big piece of this, there are three big moments, I think. The one big piece was the regime change comments.
Yes. Right?
That was like, holy smokes, did he just say that? And then he doubles down on it. The other big piece of this were cameras were rolling when he was speaking to members of the Airborne Division in Poland. U.S., these are U.S. soldiers. I guess they didn't realize that the audio was turned on and he was there speaking to these soldiers, telling them that, hey, in a few days, you're going to see the front lines of Ukraine. You're going to be there. You're going to see the families. When you're in there, you're going to, you know, do your. So he's telegraphing, I mean, telling them that these paratroopers are going to, these are paratroopers, by the way, that you guys are going to be in Ukraine. What? I thought we weren't supposed to go in Ukraine. That's World War III.
Average citizen, look at how they're stepping up. Look at how they're stepping up. And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there, You're going to see women, young people standing in the middle of front of a damn tank, just saying, "I'm not leaving. I'm holding my ground."
Okay,
so
are
some
you?
Of you have been there, and some of you will be there. You're going to see this. You're going to see this. Don't worry about it. You're going to see this. Now, apparently the White House didn't even know that this audio, this was being filmed, because they denied it. They denied that he ever said these things. And then it was shown to them later that, no, in fact, you did say this. This was actually said. And then it, you know, it sounded like, when one of the reporters says, it sounded like you told the U.S. troops that they were going to Ukraine. It sounded like you said it was possible the U.S. would use a chemical weapon. It sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia. Biden says none of those three occurred. Oh, yeah, here's the chemical weapons moment, by the way, a few days ago.
Clarify on chemical weapons. Could, if chemical weapons were used in Ukraine, would that trigger a military response from NATO?
It would trigger a response in kind. Whether or not, you're asking whether NATO would cross, we'd make that decision at the time.
So if they use chemical weapons in kind, we will use chemical weapons.
We got them too, just so you know.
Okay. So you heard that, right? I'm not just making that up, right? You also heard him telling the troops that you're going to be there. You're going to see what this looks like on the front lines. Many of you have already been there, maybe admitting out loud that some of these paratroopers have already been there helping inside of Ukraine anyway, right, on the front lines. But we're not allowed to talk about that. Keep that quiet. So these reporters then have the opportunity. They're giving the president the opportunity here to clarify these statements and, you know, basically lies to the American people right in their face.
Are you worried that other leaders in the world are going to start to doubt that America is back if some of these big things that you say on the world stage keep getting walked back?
What's getting walked back?
It sounded like, just in the last couple days, it sounded like you told U.S. troops they were going to Ukraine. It sounded like you said it was possible the U.S. would use a chemical weapon. And it sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia. And we know
none of the three occurred.
None of the three.
None of the three.
Mr. President.
Okay, but they did. That's the thing.
None of the three occurred. So.
And we're barely a week past the New World Order, you guys. Like.
And here
it's just so easy to throw this out there, but, you know, like, ignore the evidence of your eyes. Like, it's, right. Like, I hate to, I feel like I'm in a constant loop of making Orwellian comparisons, but I mean, that's literally what just happened. Like, no. I know it looks like I said that.
These are the people now. I mean, these are the different spokespersons for the White House having to walk this back. The president's point, this was a comment from the White House. The president's point was that Putin cannot be allowed to exercise power over his neighbors or the region, a White House official said. He was not discussing Putin's power in Russia or regime change. Then the president has been clear. We're not sending U.S. troops to Ukraine. There's no change in that position. Another spokesman said. So no one's had to walk anything back. Literally, these people had to walk these comments back. Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan. We will collect the form and nature of our response based on the nature of the action Russia takes on chemical weapons. And we'll do so in coordination with our allies. And I won't go beyond that other than to say the United States has no intention of using chemical weapons, period, under any circumstances. But the president just said, like and kind.
Okay. Again, I want to just play devil's advocate here. Is he just saying crazy things? Is like, this, can we just give him a pass for saying crazy things?
No, this is the president of the United States of America. You don't just give the same things that when President Trump spoke, you know, off the cuff or jumped on Twitter.
I'm not making the argument, but let's just open up the conversation because
what's the end of that conversation? I just don't get it. Like, this is, to me.
I don't know that our presidents don't know what they're talking about for the last two administrations.
Yeah, you can't forgive the leader of the free world for saying that some things that are, because, like, you can forgive a celebrity, you can forgive other public speakers, but this is, the whole world is waiting to see what we do, and his words matter. I mean, there was almost war started on Twitter because of Trump, you know, like with tweets to North Korea. The president's words matter more than any other person right now, especially.
Sure, but we also are accustomed to presidents not being careful with their words now. And so are we kind of like, well, all right, we don't take this seriously anymore. I'm not saying that that's the case, but I'm also not saying it's not the case, because Trump said a lot of things that could have got us fairly close to danger. All the time, right? And so now,
which is why those people should not be presidents.
Right. I mean, exactly. I mean, President Trump said quite a number of things. President Trump made a lot of stupid mistakes, and that doesn't make it right.
Are you worried that other leaders in the world are going to start to...
That doesn't make it right at all. I mean, the president had the opportunity here to walk some of this back. And again, I love the fawning press here. Watch CBS News, like, basically kiss President Biden's feet in this question. Like, you're so amazing. Mr. President, you're just amazing. So I just want to clarify, like, you really didn't mean what you said, right? But I just want to say you're amazing. You're amazing in your foreign policy.
Can you help us understand, you have more foreign policy experience than any president who has ever held this office. Whether those are your personal feelings or your feelings as president, do you understand why people would believe you, as someone commanding one of the largest nuclear arsenals in the world, saying someone cannot remain in power is a statement of U.S. policy? And also, are you concerned about propaganda use of those remarks by the Russians?
No and no.
Tell me why. You have so much experience. You are the leader of this country.
Because it's ridiculous. Nobody believes we're going to take down. I was talking about taking down Putin.
Except
Nobody
world leaders
that.
Do. So, except the president of France actually responded to it. In fact, world leaders all said, hey, we want to let you know we're not on board with that plan, buddy. So when world leaders have to actually respond to things, I mean...
No one believes it? I mean, like, no one believes that I actually meant that, right? No one
what
believes
good is,
that.
If you can't believe a president and his word, then what good is he?
Right. In fact, on the Council of Foreign Relations, President Richard Haas yesterday said about that comment, it's worse because it was off script, because other world leaders could view it as his personal genuine beliefs. Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's speaking off script and he's not speaking for the entire country, but he forgot that that's his job.
I mean, I don't know. But at the end of the day, there are peace talks. So regardless of the bumbling coming out of Washington, at least the Russia-Ukraine came together, hosted by Turkey, President Erdogan hosting this. And it made sense that Turkey would be the sort of neutral arbiter of this. It's not a, you know, not an EU country.
Yes.
Right. Not a not a NATO country.
No, although it has applied for EU citizenship. I don't know.
Membership
for a long time, but has not been admitted.
So among Russian. Yeah, you're right. Among the major Russian demands in all of this, apparently from both sides, both the Ukrainian and the Russian side walked away from these talks saying that they were positive that Russia would agree to reduce its military presence in the capital, Kiev, and that its main focus would be on the Donbas region. And that seems to be where the focus is going to be now, which is securing the Donbas region. I guess Crimea, of course, will be a major piece of this. And the saying that this is a Russian piece of land of Crimea, but that appears to be what is on the table at this hour, is the Donbas region is the main focus right now.
Yes.
Well, you know, I really hate to say this, but this is like for a very, 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 very long time. It's if you're on the side of the United States, you're on the wrong side. Like that has just been proving itself over and over and over again throughout. I mean, decades when it comes militarily.
In what way? Like, well, yes. I mean, I agree.
I just mean everything that we're doing around the world, and we're saying we're doing it under the auspice of peace or this, like. And we're bombing, you know, we're helping with the genocide in Yemen, like all the things we do, the atrocities we do. If you're on the side of what we're doing, you're on the wrong side.
Well, all you need to do is look at Iraq for like modern history to see like some context on that, right? Like the countries that were the coalition of freedom, right? The Freedom Coalition to go into Iraq, Great Britain, et cetera. Manufacturing a war, right? Pushing for, obviously, weapons of mass destruction in that country, talking about weapons of mass destruction, on and on and on, right? And all you need to do is see that that wasn't the case, and that those countries that had aligned themselves, Tony Blair, I mean, arguably, they're war criminals.
Yes.
I mean, they're war criminals.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. But I also think that's a bit simplistic, too. Like, if we sort of just parse it out like whatever the United States is doing, I'm against it, then we miss the nuance of any given conflict. But I do feel like the United States is drumming up a lot of propaganda at this point. All right, well, let's move on to the story about YouTube censorship because it is relevant. People who are hosting shows all over YouTube are complaining about being removed without notice, without any kind of terms of service warning, without any kind of advance at all, for the crime of saying anything that may not even be pro-Russia.
Yeah, look at this. So YouTube just wiped out the entire video archive of Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Chris Hedges, including his interviews with me, Stephen Donziger, about my legal Chevron prosecution and detention. And now Chris Hedges wrote a whole piece on this on his website. The entire archive of my 6 years of my show called On Contact have been removed.
Including all manner of content that has nothing to do with the current social or global climate. For instance, Cornel West is a sociologist, right? Noam Chomsky, media theorist, Wendy Brown, Paul Street. The list goes on and on of people who are fairly inoffensive people and have nothing to do with Ukraine and Russia. Why? Why did this happen?
Well, and why? Who cares if it's offensive or not, right?
Are you saying they were taken down too, or Chris Hedges' interviews with them were taken
Chris
down?
Chris Hedges' interviews with them. Sorry, she wasn't clear about
all
that.
Of his channels.
I was gonna say like Noam Chomsky, like taking down all of his stuff. I was like, his whoa, interviews. Wait a minute.
Yeah, okay, no, I know exactly. No. Yeah, so
That may still be coming.
His interviews, and so the entire archive of his On Contact, the Emmy-nominated show that he hosted for 6 years for RT America and RT International, had just disappeared from YouTube. Gone. Are the interviews with Nathaniel Philbrick, who I love? He's a great writer. He's a great historian. He interviewed him about George Washington, about his book on George Washington. Like, that's gone. That's gone. Doesn't matter. His biography, gone is the discussion with Kay Bird of his biography of Robert Oppenheimer. Again, gone. Discussions about James Joyce's Ulysses. You mentioned Cornel West. We talked his interviews with Noam Chomsky. On and on and on. The list goes. Wiped away, gone.
Whether or not he had those archived?
I don't know if he does or not. Probably does. I didn't get through that.
Well, so he says he did these on, he was on RT prior. So it's possible that he had a terms of service agreement if he was hosting on behalf of a network that he didn't keep his own files and that things that he produced, a lot of times this is content creators agreements. So those may or may not exist somewhere else. But just because now YouTube says that they are going to change their terms of service so that anybody trivializing the Russian-Ukraine war will be violating community guidelines by posting videos that glorify or promote violence. Well, these videos had nothing to do with that. It was just the platform. Right.
And this, again, is why I want you guys all. I mean, this is not me shilling for the newsletter. But we have a newsletter, morninginvest.com. Go there and sign up because, again, as Vartan asks here, do you have a second channel in case YouTube takes you down? When we cover these complex stories, when we cover these controversial stories, YouTube demonetizes us. We get alerts from YouTube all the time telling us that we're getting close. They took us down for a whole week when we covered a story that ended up being true. The facts weren't on our side. Did YouTube apologize? No, but they still took us down for a week. A whole week. I mean, we've got a whole team here, right? I mean, that's a whole like group of employees that work on this show. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They don't even let you post on the community feed to let your audience know what happened. Like you have no way to communicate with people to let them know. And that's why the newsletter is so important.
Yeah. So Sign up for our newsletter because you get an email every day with the newsletter, but then we can also send you an email in case something happens. We can point you over here to Rumble or these other, by the way, we're working on our Rumble channel right now. So yes, we are working on our backups, but I want to go back to something Chris Hedges says in his piece. He says the Ukraine war, which I denounced as a criminal war of aggression when it began, is a sterling example. Any effort to put it into historical context to suggest that the betrayal of agreements by the West with Moscow, meaning the Minsk agreements, which I covered as a reporter in Eastern Europe during the collapse of the Soviet Union, along with the expansion of NATO, might have baited Russia into the conflict. That's just dismissed. That's nuance, that's complexity, ambiguity, historical context, self-criticism, all banished.
And think again, about this. It's an overly simplistic explanation, right? We have to all buy into the fact that Ukraine is a glorious utopia at this point and should not be imposed upon by Russia, the aggressor, the bad guy. There is blame to be shared here. You are not allowed to have any kind of nuance
right,
at
even
all.
Noam
think
Chomsky.
About this. This is what, this is a very important part of this. He was allowed to say that and be critical of Ukraine on Russian television, on RT, but not in the United States, not on YouTube, not on our media. Television allowed him to be critical of Russia.
But yeah, isn't it amazing? Because, and then they, of course, then the EU and the United States, they take down RT. So they've removed RT America, right? The offices are closed up now. Like, unbelievable that this is happening in the United States of America, right? RT has had fairer, more balanced, and more nuanced coverage than even CNN or any of the mainstream media in the West. Isn't that unbelievable that a Russia state television or state-backed media had actually better coverage of what's going on and critical of Russia, too? The only thing that the journalists who work for RT were told, you have to back everything up with facts and sources. That's it. You have to back everything back. You have to back everything up with facts and sources for your stuff, for your articles.
Well, in related news, an Indian news network, WION, has been also banned from YouTube for daring to air a speech from Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and his Ukrainian equivalent, Dmytro Kuleba. It's interesting as they talk about this. They say, look, YouTube refuses to censor assassination calls by U.S. senators against Vladimir Putin, but they're saying we just don't allow violence or calls for violence. But Senator Lindsey Graham can repeatedly go on YouTube and say that he would like Vladimir Putin to be assassinated. But they have blocked this network for broadcasting a live speech by Russia's foreign minister.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So Lindsey Graham can go on there.
And what did he say? Lavrov said, we didn't attack Ukraine. We were actually going in to defend these separatist regions. Again, nuance, right? And I'm not defending Russian's presence in Ukraine, but I am listening to what the words are, right? It's important to have some kind of context, but we're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Well, and you know what I find funny is, like, if you listen to Putin, if you listen to his administration, they're all very articulate and they speak to the point. If you listen to any U.S. senator, congressman, the president of the United States, they just babble on about ridiculous stuff. And it's like, why are we, is that why they don't want us listening to them? Because they actually make more sense than our politicians? Like,
well, but I mean, it's also like, I think it would be like naive to think that Russian politicians are honest anymore than our politicians.
But
I know,
but that doesn't matter. We get to listen to our dishonest senators.
No,
and stuff,
exactly.
So we should
no.
get to listen to the dishonest Russians.
Right. Vladimir Zelensky is no angel either. Right. And so, but we decide which one of them is virtuous and which one of them is not. Again, a reminder that Ukraine has repeatedly been denied entrance into the European Union because of corruption inside the government and because of a Nazi movement that the government has refused to clean up.
Do you guys know about Seymour Hersh? You guys raise your hand if you know who Seymour Hersh is. He died. I think he died a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken. One of the great social investigative journalists in American history, who, of course, exposed the massacre at My Lai in Vietnam, where 500 unarmed Vietnamese civilians were killed by U.S. soldiers. In fact, that anniversary just happened like 2 weeks ago, actually, the My Lai massacre. Seymour Hersh broke that story, right? He also, of course, broke the story about Abu Ghraib, the prison in Abu Ghraib, where the U.S. was torturing prisoners at Abu Ghraib in Iraq, right? Seymour Hersh, Cy Hersh, the great reporter. And Chris Hedges' interview with Cy Hersh, talking about the decay of the American media, that's gone. You can't watch it anymore because YouTube took it down. Vanished, gone, and no longer exists on YouTube. Just one of many examples that's just been removed and censored because YouTube just didn't like what someone had to say about the nuance of this war. Who is first of all, who are Twitter and who are YouTube to be the arbiters of truth? That's my biggest, like, Twitter the other day is in trouble because they censored somebody's post for retweet. In fact, mine was retweeted. I retweeted I tweeted an article from RT about the CDC covering up the COVID deaths, the numbers, right? And Twitter blocks it and puts, this is from a Russian-backed media organization. I got all these Twitter responses like, Clayton, you should be ashamed of yourself. Like, really? Okay, if I would have just linked you to the other American media sources here, then that would have, like, been okay.
Yeah, but this and is it wouldn't true. Have said, this media brought to you by Pfizer.
I mean, right, this media brought to you by Pfizer. Exactly. And so what Twitter had to walk it back. Twitter said, we made a mistake. In fact, the CDC did revise its COVID death numbers. But again, you're not allowed to see it because Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and all of these other big media organizations decide what you get to see.
I was just reading this story about how Google was hacked by the Chinese state in 2009, right? And how they decided to respond was by pulling out of China altogether. But then they just couldn't help themselves because they wanted back in that market because it's so lucrative, right? And so they said, well, we'll try to give them some censored search because the Chinese government is not down with uncensored search results, right?
Right. Like if you look up Tiananmen Square under Google or under China's state media, you'll just see beautiful pictures of the square.
Right.
You won't see a person standing in front of a tank being mowed down by a tank. No. You'll just see beautiful pictures of Tiananmen Square.
And so they said, well, we'll try and give them some search, but we'll help kind of gradually educate Chinese people with some search that's relevant while still following the guidelines. And in this book, This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends, New York Times reporter who reports on the cyber arms race, she says, I love this quote, such rationalization was common in Silicon Valley where tech leaders and founders have come to think of themselves as prophets, if not deities, delivering free speech and the tools of self-expression to the masses and thereby changing the world. Many a tech CEO has come to think of themselves as the rightful heir to Steve Jobs, whose megalomania was excused as a byproduct of his ability to deliver, right? So they think, like, I got this, right? Especially Sergey Brin, who is a Russian Jew whose family escaped, and he sort of feels like, oh, I know what it is to be persecuted in a world that doesn't have free speech, so I'm going to set the guidelines, even though he's no longer CEO of Google. It's still sort of indicative of how these tech companies operate. Like, oh, it's okay. They tell us it's so stinking patronizing.
Well, you look at Jack Dorsey with his like prophet like beard, like he's just going on a hermitage somewhere, right?
Yes.
And he's like there with like, you know, smoking hookahs, and he's like, I'm going to tell you what you're allowed to see on Twitter. I'm going to censor the things that you shouldn't be allowed to see, and I will give unto you. That's why there's all this.
But they got in trouble for not doing that in the Trump election. Liberals who had a legitimate loss said, we lost because Twitter and Google and YouTube were allowing various voices. That's your fault. We called them in front of Senate hearing committees and said, like, how are you going to do this better? Well, this is what we get, right? Because we didn't like that Trump won. Now we get a censored media. Now they're afraid and they think that they have all the answers. It's such bull.
Well, and also now there's the discussion, and who knows if it's going to happen or not, but Elon Musk the other day posting that tweet asking, do you feel that Twitter is an open place of free speech? And a lot of people said, and he said, your answer is important. So there's a lot of rumors rumbling that he's about to launch his own social media where it'd be 100% uncensored. You can say whatever you want. All right,
they'll
Elon.
Go after him even more. The government already doesn't like him.
I wish I could contact him because I have an idea for MySpace that I think he would get on board with.
For MySpace. We could
build it together. Thing is, like, I don't think that the government's hands are out of this censorship. Like, I don't think it's just Twitter and YouTube. I mean, it's coming from the top as well, I think. And so I think even
absolutely
if,
of course it is.
If Elon starts his own company, he's going to have to house it outside of the United States.
It wouldn't surprise me
if the U.S. blocked access to it.
Well, it could
like
be. You're
RT.
Right. You're right. Exactly. So
look what they did to Parler.
They're the ones that decide. But then, of course, who runs these massive nodes and servers and, you know, Amazon Web Services and everything else? Like if the government calls and gets on the phone with Microsoft, is like, hey, you've got a lot of software holes. You know, a lot of foreign governments are exploiting your software. Can you fix this, please? Or we're going to take some action. Like, you better do this. And then Bill Gates sends out that memo that shook the world. We're like, we're going to take security seriously. Oh, where'd you come up with that idea? Because the government called you
yes.
to do it. You know, so yes, you're absolutely right, Philip. Like, the government is going to oversee it. They're going to get on the phone. They're going to have, you know, these CEOs over for dinner. They're going to tell them what they like, what they don't like. And, you know, these woke politicians and woke Hollywood and woke Silicon Valley all get together and decide what you can see. But you know, at the end of the day, great journalism is censored, gone from this discussion. And even just showing a live speech from a person who's involved in the war gets you blocked because YouTube doesn't like it. So
they
again,
need to change the name to RTube now, because it's not ours anymore. It's not about you anymore. It's about them.
Was YouTube.
Oh, you mean O-U-R.
Was your tube. Yeah, now our. It's not your tube anymore.
Right.
We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the new tax plan here in a moment, how it's going to affect you. We're going to talk about Social Security and how that's going to affect you and your wallet. So you're going to want to pay attention to all of these stories. We're going to break these things down for you. But first, why don't you tell us about our friends over at Novo?
All right, I sure will. We'd like to tell you about our show sponsor over at Novo. You know, fortune favors the bold, the strong, and the brave. For your business to break out of anything holding you back, you need a business checking account as brave as you are. And that's why we're introducing Novo Business Checking. Novo is a powerfully simple business checking account. And unlike the traditional banking model, Novo has no minimum balance requirements, no transaction limit, and no hidden fee. In fact, it's incredibly simple to navigate and use. Oftentimes, we have people on our investment channel asking, where do we get a business bank account that is not fee-based? Because a lot of times you start a business, you don't have a lot of income, and most of the options with either the big banks or your local banks are quite expensive, with high monthly fees and all types of fees for anything you do, such as transferring money, getting a credit card, what have you. Well, instead, Novo has a customized business solution instead of a one-size-fits-all approach that can save you time and free up cash flow. They also integrate seamlessly with Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more. You can sign up for free and join the community of over 150,000 fearless small business owners who found the customizable business checking solution that admires their bravery. Sign up for free business checking right now at novo.co/invest. Plus, Morning Invest listeners get access to over $5,000 in perks and discounts. Go to novo.co/invest to sign up for free. Once again, that's novo.co/invest. Novo Platform Incorporated is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services are provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, FA, a member of the FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's talk about this tax plan because, hey, President Biden now is back home from Europe and wants to turn the page on that somewhat end ended up being kind of a bit of a disaster. The beginning started out well enough, but now we got to turn back to the American people, right? We want to help you. And one way we're going to help you is to tax billionaires. We're getting more details this morning about this new billionaire tax plan and just how crazy it actually is.
All right, so why do you care, right? I'm presuming that the majority of us are not billionaires. And so,
except for Philip. Philip, we've established, is a billionaire.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And Elon Musk, who's in the chat.
Right.
He probably has many things to say about this. Why do we care? It's because it is taxation creep. And let me explain. So the White House is calling this a billionaire minimum income tax. And so what it would do was take anyone with $100 million or more in assets whose effective tax rate in any year is less than 20%. Well, these taxpayers already pay 23.8% on capital gains, and then 37% on ordinary income. So we spoke about this yesterday because I was confused, right? If you are a high earner, you already are taxed at 37%. So what is it you have that isn't making this 20% threshold? Capital gains are taxed at 15%, but the Wall Street Journal makes the point that the effective tax rate of capital gains on wealthy people is 23.8%. So what is missing? If your income is already taxed above close to 40% and you're paying on capital gains, what there is less than 20%? Well, here it is. It's unrealized gains, right? We talked about this a lot last fall and it kind of fell off our radar. It's whatever you have that you may have invested in that is not liquid, that has equity in it. They want you to report it, report what it's worth now, and pay off your taxes on it. Okay, well, do we care about that? What happens if you have a gain in it 1 year and a loss the next year? For some reason, the value of that asset plummets. Do you get the money back? Or do you get a refund on your taxes? Is the government then going to pay us on things we've lost on already? In which case, presumably there's a lot of things worth less since the pandemic, right? So then a lot of people will be getting less. Recall that taxation for the United States started at a flat 3%, and we were told that it would only be to pay for the Civil War, right? But then Congress enacted a permanent income tax, and it never has gone away. These type of things, they start with as a talking point as for the wealthy, right? But they eventually do trickle down. And think about what a nightmare that is to report everything you've got. Think about how many people who are going to find out that this applies to them that they didn't know about. It just seems to me very draconian and very, it's like reaching in, you know, like fingers in the cookie jar.
Well, and that's one of the big problems with it, right? So a direct tax. One of the big problems with this is that it's a direct tax is actually unconstitutional.
Yes.
So good luck trying to enforce this, like a direct tax on U.S. citizens. Like, so whether or not this even holds up in a Supreme Court, whether or not it goes through the court process, a direct tax, right, is hard to actually implement because with the exemption, of course, of income taxes, the legal experts say basically a wealth tax would be a specific direct tax, which would require some sort of a form of like implementation so complex as to be totally unworkable. Another big piece of this is that it's very hard to assess value for wealth. So how the hell are you going to figure out real estate holdings or what the value of a person's company is? Like, good luck. I mean, even like asking us or even like your father, like, what is the value of your company?
Right.
Right. How are you? And then, of course, notoriously, wealthy business owners are going to downplay the value of said company. Look at the Trump administration. Look what the Trumps did, right? To downplay
well,
the value
of the involved in federal investigation because
right.
of it.
So how many more federal investigations are we going to have because all of these businesses now try to say that, no, my company's not worth $50 million. It's only worth $10.
Yes.
You know? And who's going to say? Is the federal government going to make its business? Is Elizabeth Warren going to make it her daily business to go in and try to assess based on what the value of said company? This is why, like, focusing on this garbage when you could actually be doing something to help the American people by rewriting the tax code properly or simplifying the tax code. Instead, you just want to add layer after layer of complexity that's frankly unenforceable.
You know what? It makes me feel like I'm plugged into the Matrix. Like, let's just take from anybody who's born into our system, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you are born on American soil or born to an American family, you are a taxpayer no matter what until you die. Till death do you part with the American government. That no other country in the world does that except one. And that country is a small island that taxes a flat 2%, even if you don't live there, right? So they are always trying to reach into whoever. In fact, Boris Johnson famously didn't know that he still had to file taxes in America because he was born on American soil. He had a condo that he sold. He was trying to pay taxes on it in the UK, and the United States said, no, you're an American, you pay taxes on that here. So had he, and then he went through and actually expatriated. Most people don't know that. So he might have the money to pay all those fines he just got slapped with for having parties, if he had not had to pay such a high tax bill in the United States. So, you know, they're saying that this would rake in close to $360 billion over 10 years. And it's like, there's no responsibility here on the part of the government. Just 2 weeks ago, the government had to pass legislation to increase the debt limit, right? So the United States is operating where it spends more than it takes in. And that is our problem somehow, so we have to pay more because the United States just keeps spending and spending and spending, so we need to launch harsher and harsher taxation rules. Well, I just find this so upsetting and uncomfortable.
That's why I agree with Elon Musk. He's like, why would I want to give the U.S. government the most inefficient, like, it's like giving a kid with a candy problem the keys to the checkbook and say, here you go.
Yeah.
Just go get as much candy as you want. Like, don't worry
right.
about how much what the balance is. Like, they're so inefficient, and we're going to, like, give them more money to waste?
Well, I think they know that this doesn't work. They know it can't work. They're not actually interested in implementing this.
No, it's all politics.
Yeah, it's all politics. That's why they do stuff like this. It's like they say, oh yeah, we're gonna tax the rich at 20%, and it's gonna be this direct illegal tax that can never possibly happen and would require like an amendment to the Constitution to even work. But we're gonna talk about it because it's signaling to their base.
It makes it look virtue signaling. Like
exactly.
It's Elizabeth Warren virtue signaling. And of course, the midterm elections are coming up and they can be seen to have been standing for something, right? That's why you're seeing a flurry of new legislation being floated around lately, like this idea of passing gas stimulus checks, right? Because, hey, midterm elections are coming up and I don't want my star hitched to that Biden wagon. I'm putting forth a gas stimulus. That's what I'm doing for you in my district. The New York Times took an interesting bent on this. They say that this is an interesting trick that what the Biden administration is trying to do. They're saying, here's the neat trick of Biden's billionaire tax. And what Peter Coy is saying is that the president is trying to pull off a neat trick with the so-called billionaire tax to raise taxes on wealthy without directly taxing the wealth. The 16th Amendment, he says, the U.S. Constitution gives Congress power to lay and collect taxes on incomes. Wealth is not income. So courts have found that straight-ahead wealth taxes are unconstitutional. By doing this, though, it gets around that large obstacle by taxing billionaires on the increase in their wealth. That gain, the administration argues, can be considered income. And he uses this example. If your horse farm or your Renoir painting doubles in value, that increase can be thought of as income, just like wages from flipping burgers, even if you don't realize the gain by selling it. So, great. Who the hell in the administration? The SEC can't even bring down Bernie Madoff. Literally, people warned the SEC about Bernie Madoff, and they did nothing about it. You mean to tell me there's going to be some sort of an office set up, or maybe even the current infrastructure, that's going to be assessing businesses' future wealth and going after them?
Oh, this would be lawsuit after lawsuit. Especially,
this is never going to happen.
Like your Renoir now, who we have on staff, a bunch of art
experts
who will tell you what that's worth. Yes, I don't think that this has much hope of passing. And if it does, it will be litigated heavily. But I do think that the intention there is what should be so concerning. It's just interesting that like people have this idea that if they just work hard enough, they can be wealthy, that they can get where they want to be. Wealth is like the American dream, right? But then those people who achieve it, we lynch them for it. And we want to just say it as talking points. Like, look at all those people. They're fine and you're not. Vote for me because I'm on your side and not theirs, right? And it's such a stinking ruse.
Well, if you've been paying attention to what's been going on in the rest of the world, Ukraine and everything else, you might not have been noticing, but we're going to bring it to your attention, what Republicans are quietly and secretly trying to do right now. It's something they've long wanted to do, which is to eliminate Social Security, what they have called for the longest time, entitlement programs, right? They want to get rid of, first of all, that I find that so insulting, like this idea of an entitlement program, right? The United States has almost no social safety net, right? I mean, that's almost like we have this little fabric of a social safety net that pays out very little to people to, in a little bit to make sure our seniors are taken care of, but it's not a social safety net. You want to see a social safety net, go to Norway, go to other countries that actually take care of its people. We do not have that. So this idea that you are entitled to have Social Security, yes, you are entitled to have Social Security.
Well, you pay into it, right?
Yes.
It's your money. It's a terribly run program. It gives you very little for what you actually, you lend the government money for basically interest free and they take it and do whatever the heck they want. Did you know that Social Security was started by Roosevelt as part of his war on poverty after visiting the Deep South and seeing people with no shoes? And he felt like, oh my God, I live in a different world as this. We need to actually do something. So, it was initially intended to provide financial security for older Americans. Now it provides some security for people who are either no longer able to work or have some sort of family situation that they are not able to work. But it is not a very efficient program. Republicans, I think they're right in that it is very mismanaged and inefficient. But at the same time, it takes a large portion of your paycheck every month, every week, however often you're paid, puts it in a fund that you are supposed to be able to draw from.
Right. So Republicans have long wanted to end this program, and they're back at it again while the world is focused on other things. Senator Rick Scott of Florida recently put out an 11-point plan for America, echoing what other Republicans have been calling for as well. In it, though, he highlights specifically the sunsetting of Social Security. Now, John Roberts on Fox News, my old colleague, called him out about this on the Sunday show and went specific into his plan. And Senator Scott didn't like it very much. Watch this whole exchange here, but you get to see how Republicans are actually being called on the carpet about this.
You recently put out an 11-point plan to rescue America, two of the big points of which are, quote, all Americans should pay some income tax to have skin in the game, even if a small amount. Currently, over half of Americans pay no income tax. It also says all federal legislation sunsets in 5 years. If a law is worth keeping, Congress can pass it again. So that would raise taxes on half of Americans and potentially sunset programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Why would you propose something like that in an election year?
Or ever.
Sure. Well, John, that's, of course, the Democrat talking point. It's a
no, it's
plan.
It's in the plan.
But here's this thing about reality for a second. Let's talk about Medicare.
But Senator, hang on. John. So it's not a Democratic talking point. It's in the plan.
And also in the plan, it says we ought to every year talk about exactly how we're going to fix Medicare and Social Security. Here's what's happening. No one that I know of wants to sunset Medicare or Social Security. But what we're doing is we don't even talk about it. Medicare goes bankrupt in 4 years. Social Security goes bankrupt in 12 years. I think we ought to figure out how we preserve those programs.
Right. So we're going to preserve we're going to preserve these programs by making sure they expire. Like, that's how we protect you.
Okay. So I recently studied a large book on Social Security, and I want to just share this little bit with you. So this author who actually just wrote a book, it's not a sexy book. It's called Social Security, Medicare, and Government Pensions, Get the Most Out of Your Retirement. It's not a partisan book. It's just, what is the program? What do you have to gain from it? And what's, you know, good or bad about these programs. But again, it's not a partisan book. The author says there are simple ways to fix the Social Security system, but they are ignored by politicians who want nothing less than to end all public pensions and other support systems and force all retirement savings into the stock market. There, people's savings would be bled by the financial institutions and other corporate profiteers that run Wall Street. So why do they say this? That's exactly why, right? They want no social support programs, but instead to funnel that money into their bugs' pockets at Wall Street. Here are just a few ways, like reasonable nonpartisan ways, if you really wanted Social Security to not go bankrupt in 12 years, which he's right about that. The budget does show that Social Security could be bankrupt in less than a decade, or just over a decade. Number one, you could remove the cap on earnings subject to Social Security tax, the FICA tax. Right now, Social Security doesn't tax any earned income over $142,000. Well, you could that is one way to actually tax all wages, right? Debate amongst you. That's just one way that actually would work. Set off against early benefits for non-earned income, delay full retirement age, slight reduction in benefit for high income recipients, right? There are absolutely things you could do. None of them you'll hear out of a politician's mouth.
No. But they're doing it quietly, right? And this is, so he was slapped down by Mitch McConnell. I don't know if you were familiar with this, but when Senator Scott released this 11-point plan, he was taken to the woodshed over this for putting this out publicly. Mitch McConnell, and this was made public that he, you know, Senator Scott got hauled into a meeting and was like basically vilified by Mitch McConnell over this because he's like, you don't say this out loud. Like, yes, of course we want to get rid of Social Security, but you just don't say it out loud.
Yes.
We're going to do it surreptitiously, you know, under the dark of night. That's how we're going to do it. Unless you're George W. Bush, who said, you know what, let's end Social Security the way we know it and let's let you invest in the stock market. And Wall Street loved that idea. You know, Wall Street was like, yes, oh yeah, absolutely. Well, we love the idea of you taking all of those government dollars and funneling them into government into the stock market. It was a perfect marriage. Then, of course, you had the 2008 collapse. So everyone would have done great with their Social Security plan under that plan.
Ronald Gross in the chat says, well, stop taxing grandma's Social Security. That's immoral. That also blows my mind. When you study Social Security, you work your whole life, right, to have this little bit that's, you know, it's meant to keep you off the streets, but not enough to actually live on. And then you pay taxes on that. That's money you lent to the government while you were still a workhorse, right? The government went, did who knows what with it. And now they're saying you can have a little back, a little sip every month, but we're still going to tax it. It's crazy to me.
I mean, I had someone in my trading group the other day. They're like, you know, I'm really thinking about leaving the United States. Like, there's a lot of people in the trading group. They're like, I'm just, man, Uncle Sam, they tax me left, right, left, right. What if I, you know, move to Puerto Rico? And I'm like, even if you move to Puerto Rico, it's still the United States.
Yes.
Like it might sound good to like some Wall Street billionaire who's going to go and live in Puerto Rico, but you're missing the point. That just as soon as more and more billionaires move to Puerto Rico, the tax code, the tax man is coming for you next in Puerto Rico.
Well, and it wouldn't be so bad if we got something out of it. They just blow our money. If we got health care and stuff like that out of what they tax us, I could maybe justify it. But
we get the Norwegians, software bugs to hack people.
The Norwegians feel that way, David. Like, I mean, you know, they feel that way. Like, they feel like, hey, yes, we pay more in our taxes, but we get something for it. Like, we get daycare, we get childcare, we get healthcare, we get, we're taken care of.
Yeah.
And so we get free university, we get all of those things, but you don't get
their tax rate. Their tax rate is very high. I mean, it's like really high.
And they're
tax
fine
rate.
And they're okay
close,
paying
close
it.
To the 50% mark.
Yeah.
High 40s. It's interesting. You know, when politicians say stupid things about Social Security, they're not really interested. It's funny that they don't say anything about the plans that, like, for instance, your pre-tax or post-tax 401k or IRA money. They don't say much about that, right? Because that's you partnering with the government to invest in the stock market. They like that.
Right. Well, if their money came out of that pocket, that pool, they definitely worry about it. But they don't care because where we get our money.
Here's another few seconds of this.
Every program that we care about, we ought to stop and take the time to preserve those programs. I mean, I just fought the postal bill because it put more responsibility on Medicare and took it off the Postal Service and put Medicare in a worse position. Now, let's go back. Let's talk about taxes for a second. I'll put my record up against anybody on tax cuts. I cut taxes and fees 100 times as governor. But here's what's unfair. Mm-hmm. We have people that could go to work and have figured out how to have government pay their way. That's not right. They ought to have some skin in the game. I don't care if it's a dollar. We ought to all be in this together. I'm going to continue to focus on reducing taxes. That's what I've done my whole life. But there's an 11-step plan. Go through it. Everybody's not going to agree with everything. 128 policy points. Let's be bold. Go to rescueamerica.com. Give me your ideas, or you can text America to 22044. Give me your ideas. I want to change this country. The woke left controls everything. We got to win, and we got to change the country.
As you said, not everyone agrees with it, and one of the people that doesn't agree with it is Mitch McConnell. Here's what he said.
Let me tell you what would not be a part of our agenda. We will not have as part of our agenda a bill that raises taxes on half of the American people and sunsets Social Security and Medicare within 5 years. That will not be part of a Republican Senate majority agenda.
Now, a few days
after... Ooh. Zing. And he said, the Republican Party doesn't need to be a group of cowards. And so he's like, are you calling Mitch McConnell a coward? It's like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. So I think you're seeing the signs here of a future presidential run from Rick Scott also. But this is where the Republican Party is at. There's plenty of ways to fix Social Security. Among them, though, is not canceling Social Security. All right. We're going to get to what's trending here in a moment. But I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because just a few more days. You've got, what is today, the 29th of the month?
It is the 29th.
How many days are in March? 31?
31.
You've got three days
to take advantage of the extra stock that they're giving away. They're giving away the 5 free stocks valued up to $7,000 plus a bonus stock of NIO, which NIO, guys, that's a huge stock. Okay. So if you go to morninginvest.com/moomoo, that's how you get those stocks just for opening the account. And then you get the additional stocks when you make your initial deposit in your account. And you can deposit as little as like $100. I mean, you know, you don't have to do much. But the beauty is you get those free stocks and then you can start learning how to trade. Start making some smart investments, whether you're investing in commodities, whether it's gold, silver, stocks, it doesn't really matter. You can invest in crypto as well, right there inside the Moomoo trading platform, all right there. Very easy to do. You can download it for free. Just go to the download section based on what system you're using, whether it's Windows, you're on the Google Play Store, your App Store, you can do it on your phone, your PC, whatever, and download it today. They've got zero commission trades. The Moomoo desktop looks really great. And it's very, very easy to use. They've got advanced charts, level 2 data, and again, free stocks for you to start learning how to trade this market. Again, go to morninginvest.com/moomoo today to get those 5 free stocks plus those bonus stocks. You have a few days left till the end of March to grab those before they run out. So our thanks to Moomoo for supporting the show. By the way, their platform was just named the best trading platform because of its ease of use. So they just won an award for their trading platform. Really great stuff. So check them out. All right, it's time to talk about what's trending on the internet. These are little nuggets. These are things that people are Googling. They're looking up hashtags like crazy.
Discussing. You can discuss amongst yourself. Now, we already mentioned in the top of the chat that Will Smith continues to trend. It's been barely 48 hours since he decided to slap Chris Rock during a comedy bit at the Oscars. And still a lot of discussion about that. A lot. So I'll just start with that because, like I said, I don't know why I find myself just seeing what other people think because I know what I think. But then I just am watching like more. It's like that act of violence has turned people more aggressive on Twitter and they're having other fights. Most of them non-physical. So that's good.
I mean, there's still a lot of discussion about this. I mean,
yes.
I mean, among the discussions are over the past 24 hours, I'm sure a lot of you have seen this, right? It's like, okay, so he gets pissed at Chris Rock for making a joke during the Oscars, but he's okay with the guy that Jada Pinkett Smith had an affair with. Like he's
well,
okay.
Well, we don't know how he feels about that. I mean, they have said they had an open marriage.
Okay.
So
they're okay with that. Okay.
I don't know. And Chris Rock has said he did not know that there was underlying medical condition for her baldness.
That was my whole argument. Like if he had no context, then it was a joke. If he had context, it was bad. You know what I mean? Like if he had no idea that she had that, then that could
sure,
be a
but are
joke
we now putting the onus on every joke? Like I can't make fun of this because I don't know the underlying condition behind it, right? That's very handicapping for comedians.
Yeah, no, I think that even as a comedian, like if I knew somebody had cancer and I wouldn't make a joke, hey, you're going to die. You know what I mean? Like if you know an underlying condition and you know somebody's sensitive to it, I don't think even as a comedian, you know, you
shouldn't
would do
go
that
near
just,
it
just out of ethics.
Sure.
Out of the friendship that they may have had. Who knows? You know, but
I mean, just to me,
not knowing.
Just the bottom line for me, it's like violence is never the answer. So no. Like climbing up on stage, regardless of whether millions of people are watching or not, like violence is never the answer to hit somebody ever. I don't care who you are. I think that's been my position on this. And so you make fun of his wife. You can, you know, deal it with it in other ways, verbally, right? But to jump up there on stage and to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah, because he could have just yelled what he yelled after he hit him from the seat if he was
go on to win the Oscar and say, you know, that joke you just said really hurt my feelings. How much stronger would that of a point have made? I'm a person, I have feelings, and that hurts because she is suffering from this. And then Chris Rock would have felt about this big, right? And
he would have felt like a pebble instead of a rock.
Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dave Chappelle is trending because people are just desperate for his reaction to this. For instance, this one right there. People are saying, I'm about to wreck that man's whole career. people just want him to ring in on this. And then also there are many Charlie Murphy jokes about what did the five fingers say to the face? Why you hit me, Charlie Murphy? Also, many are saying that Will Smith would never have done this to Dave Chappelle.
I like the one that says Chris Rock had fresh prints on his hand. Fresh prints.
Roman Polanski is also trending as people point out that he and Harvey Weinstein both did bad things to and both got to keep their Oscars. This is in relation to the discussion that he should lose that Oscar. I don't know about that. I definitely think he should have been removed from the ceremony, because if it was anybody else rushing the stage to hit someone, that would have happened.
It's like, who cares about the Oscar? I mean, like, who cares? Like,
right. Just, you know. He should not have been, in my opinion, allowed to give that acceptance speech.
No, I think he should have been arrested.
So
assaulted a guy.
I mean, yes, like, that's on live TV. Yeah. And just set the example that this is how I handle conflicts. He has apologized on Instagram. He posted something saying there was no excuse for my behavior. I'm super embarrassed about it. So you decided.
Just to think about it for a second. You're sitting there at the Academy Awards and premeditate, like, someone makes a comment, you laugh, you look over at your wife, she gives him the stink eye, then you make the decision to climb up stairs, to walk up a whole runway. It's not like he was sitting next to you and you just like flipped out, like smack. No, you made the decision to stand up, walk all the way up those stairs. That's like a 30 second walk.
Yeah.
During that 30 second walk, like, better, you didn't think better of this, that you just stopped yourself?
Right.
He could have stopped himself and even said, don't make me come up there.
Right. You know? Or said, like, you know, I was gonna, you know, but I didn't. But he committed. He committed to it. Also, related news, Demi Moore is trending because people are pointing out, bottom, that G.I. Jane is a very good look for some people. And this is not the worst thing in the world to be compared to. I especially like this one right there. Yes, this one.
This one?
Nope. That one? Nope. Yes. That one.
She's doing pull-ups.
Has anybody asked me more how she feels about being branded as the worst thing you can call a woman? Because, and many women online are saying, if I'm compared to Demi Moore, if I ever lose my hair, please, right? By all means. I realize this is minimizing, but at the same time, like, is this the worst thing in the world? And let's call her out and say, I mean, she rocked this look, you guys. And so does Jada Pinkett Smith.
And Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta.
Yes.
I might add, it worked well for her.
Yes. Evangeline Lilly recently shaved her head. She rocks that.
Kristen Swenson in the chat says, oh, he apologized on Instagram. I'm still waiting for a few dozen Instagram apologies.
Okay.
Exactly.
They're in the mail.
Yeah. Exactly. I love that idea, too. It's like, oh, so you went to Instagram to apologize. Okay.
All right, the last of the Oscar bit, I promise. Zendaya Oscars 2022 is trending because, you know, our girl nailed it for the night. This is her outfit to the actual awards. You can't really see here, but she also has a sparkly manicure to match that sequined skirt. Plus
is Tom
the crop
Holland
top.
Under there?
Yeah, I don't know. And then this is her after parties. Nope. Get off of that for a second. That is her after party look. Huh. And she nailed it. Okay, the one you just showed, go back to this, is also trending. This is an actress named Julie Fox. I think she's an actress. She wore this outfit to the Oscars after party as well, the Vanity Fair. If you zoom in, that turtleneck is a hand. And as someone who, I used to really freak out when my mom dressed me in turtlenecks because I was all drama about it, like, oh, I can't breathe. That gives me real anxiety. Ooh,
that would give me anxiety, yeah.
That looks like the hand of the witch from, not Cinderella. Yeah, Cinderella? Who got the apple? Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
I'm a hard no on that outfit.
Snow White. Snow White.
Yes, Snow White isn't the apple. That's right. Like, I'm all for fashion, but this looks like bondage.
There's some people that are into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got two tattoos. What's her tattoos on her shoulders say?
Cancel I don't know.
This?
She wanted it.
Just can't something. Can't.
All right. Cancun Airport is trending because there was a security scare that sent passengers fleeing on Monday. Authorities have said that this seems to have been a false alarm, that there was not actually gun violence. And finally, Ezra Miller is trending because he was arrested for disorderly conduct while he was at a bar in Hawaii. He's the actor that plays the Flash in the DC movies, and he apparently was like slapping away the microphone when he didn't want someone's karaoke, getting involved in people's pool games, which Dave would...
What?
Or not David, Philip would really... Yeah. It's like
I'd have slapped him.
He was yelling at the bartender. He was just out of control toddler. And
then like that he was gone. Where'd he go?
Out of there.
He wasn't so speedy that he could resist arrest. He was probably pretty slow under the influence of alcohol. So,
if he puts on a wig, he'd be a beautiful woman. Don't you think?
Okay, sure.
He's got like, it looks like he's like wearing lipstick in this picture.
Yeah, fine. I don't think we need to genderify a face. But
genderify?
He does, like, I don't know what that like means. That's that would be that beautiful on... for a woman. It's also beautiful for a man, I suppose.
Okay.
He has a very nice jawline.
Remember we saw that video a few weeks ago where he was like going off? It was like some random
on KKK video. Members. Yeah, on some like... specific KKK chapter, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't forgiving him or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a loose
Sam
cannon.
Walter. I'm with Sam Moulter on that. Like, he was waiting to get knocked out if he messed up my pool game. Yeah, that's not something I would tolerate.
Yeah, can you
at
imagine
all.
Someone walks over and grabs one of your balls?
There was this woman that was on one of my pool leagues, and on one of my teams, and she was a bartender. But I mean, she's you know like 5'8" and just kind of a thin. She's not a huge woman or anything. And this guy came up while she was shooting in league, and the guy's like, you know, if you go, and she, because she's a bartender, she's used to dealing with drunk people. The speed that she turned around and got in his face, and she's like, do I look like I need your help? And she just like finger pointed and backed that guy up against the table. Just like, I mean, she was yelling. So you don't mess with people's pool game.
No. Or people's karaoke.
Yes.
That can get pretty serious about that too.
Yeah.
The only way you should mess up Natalie's karaoke is to cut the microphone.
Just let me leave without a trace.
Oh my God.
When you stand here doing everything to me,
you're the only one who really knew me at all.
Awesome. We need a Morning Invest karaoke edition sometime.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps it up, you guys. Do we got some super chats? Are you motivated to super chat after that?
That was the last one. Someone sent a super chat. I don't see the name, but we can't read it because YouTube would probably. I think it was a joke, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, do we want to talk about next week? I don't think we've mentioned that today.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So, yes. So if you missed our announcement yesterday, we're going to repeat it here today. We want to try to repeat it as much as possible. So come Friday when we mention it, you're not saying, because Friday is April Fool's, you're going to say, oh, it's just an April Fool's joke. No, it's not an April Fool's joke. We are, we're making some changes around here. There will be no more singing allowed on the show. That's one of the...
I'm out.
One of the
yeah,
top,
I'll go with you.
Yep, now it's just Clayton. See ya.
Yeah. No, we're moving the show to a different time slot. It's going to be more of an afternoon evening show to accommodate more people who aren't having a race off to get to work and all of that. But plus, it'll allow us to live our lives a little bit better here. And it'll free us up to be able to gather stories and be able to cover the news of the day a little bit better for us.
Also, it sets us up so that when summer comes and our kids are home, we are much less likely to have distractions.
Yes.
Because it's post their bedtime.
And nobody will be ringing the doorbell. And
oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Please. All right. So the showtime will be 4 p.m. Eastern. We hope you still can join us. You still will get your morning newsletter at the same time that you are used to. And we will make sure we remind you several times, and we hope to still see you here, whatever your day entails at that time of day.
That's 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Yeah. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. So mark your calendars. I'm going to be posting stuff on the community feed too, so watch for that. Put it in your calendar and set a reminder. Tell Siri, hey, watch this. Hey, Siri, set a reminder for the new show next week at 1 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we're going to be rebranding a bunch of things here. There's going to be some new logo. There's going to be some new design. In fact, there will be a new channel name, which we will reveal on Friday. So all of it. Look, this show started, or this channel started in 2016, really as an empowerment channel to help people navigate this world of investing and help people kind of figure out what this government was doing to you and how to better, you know, motivate yourself towards financial freedom and empowerment. And I have other channels that are devoted to that. This channel has really shifted in that way. So I every day I get the question, hey, where's the investment news? You know, like, it's Morning Invest. And so, yes, we're going to be changing up the name here and things are going to be shifting around to better reflect what we're going to be covering here on the show. So
and also, those asking, your subscriptions that you have now, your channel subscriptions, will indeed carry over because the channel is staying the same. It's just going to get a new name, new logo. So,
nothing
will
change.
You don't have to do anything for your subscriptions or anything like that. You'll still come to the same channel. You'll get the same notifications. So not a new channel, just a new time.
And it will be on YouTube, yes, but we are adding additional platforms because, the news that we cover on the show and what we're going to continue to cover at an even greater level are stories that you're not going to see anywhere else. They're stories that the mainstream media does not cover. So we're really going to be doubling down on that and taking things to the next level. And YouTube doesn't like that. So there is a chance that, yes, there'll be times when we have to worry about YouTube taking us down or blocking us or censoring us. So if that happens, but we have backup plans in place, we're building out a whole infrastructure so that you can have a place to go even if YouTube decides to take us down.
Yeah, so we're just trying to set it up so that we can be like not have to worry. Because right now, if YouTube were to go down, that's it. We're not on another platform. So we're trying to set it up so that if that does happen, we can go somewhere else and we don't have to worry so much about YouTube censoring us.
Yeah. Right. And for those of you who feel anxietized about change, I'm with you.
The change is good,
but I'll be here and we're going to get through it together.
To me, the only way you grow is through getting a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it'll be a little uncomfortable, but hopefully we grow tremendously as a result of it.
Well, and we're also going to try to, because we'll have the show in clips or whatever, we're going to try to release one at the same time that you're watching now. So at 6 a.m. Pacific,
9 a.m. Eastern.
9 a.m. Eastern, we should have a premiere coming out each day. Yeah. We're going to try to.
Yeah, from the night before, in case you missed some of those as well. So that will all shift. But yes, I'm going to continue to do our Paranormal Post channel. That's going to grow. So, and we'll also be covering investment news on my Clayton Morris channel. So those three, I'll be able to put a lot of effort and attention into those three as those grow sort of separately instead of worrying about should it be on this channel, should it be on that channel, is the name. It's caused me quite a bit of headache. So no, we're not doing Patreon.
No.
So thank you for that. None of your business says don't do Patreon. No, we're not doing Patreon. We are not going to do that.
That's part of why
not the way to do it.
Yeah, that's part of why. I don't know if you know Memberful is owned by Patreon. So
oh, I didn't know that, but
yeah.
Separate platform, but no, I didn't know that. But
that company scares me. They just canceled a bunch of people again.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, we're not doing Patreon. We're doing our own thing, our own structure for all of this. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for subscribing to the channel. Your channel subscriptions are very, very important to us. And please share the show with anyone in your life that you think needs to learn some of this information as we cover it here that they won't see in the mainstream media.
And somebody said they would follow Natalie. Well, Natalie is on Goodreads. So if you want to follow Natalie,
you can read about.
And I'm right here. You are following Natalie.
Yeah.
Here I
see what kind of Social Security book she's reading
next. Take a look at me now.
All right. We got to go.
Okay. Bye.
We got to go.